Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Good morning and welcome to Score Values on 670 The Score. I'm your host, Alex Kuhn. Today, we will tell you about a couple of local organizations doing incredible work in the community. One of them is working to end hunger in our community, and the other provides educational help to students from low-income communities while providing them with the equipment and resources to learn and play the sport of hockey. The Greater Chicago Food Depository started as a grassroots organization back in 1979, and over four decades later, the organization has grown into a network of over 800 local pantries, soup kitchens, and shelters that work together to provide meals to our neighbors in need. We now welcome Manyi Lee, the Director of Communications for the Greater Chicago Food Depository, joining us now on Score Values. Manyi, good morning and welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm good, thank you, and thank you for having me.
Yeah, we're excited to have you. A lot going on now this time of year, but tell us a little bit about what you guys do, your mission at the Greater Chicago Food Depository.
Yeah, great. So basically, the Greater Chicago Food Depository, we are Chicago's food bank. And what that means is that we work to end hunger in the community. We do this through working through a network of more than 800 community partners, including soup kitchens, pantries, shelters, to provide food to the community and to anyone in need. The food that we provide to those pantries come from a number of sources, including food from the government through the USDA, also donated food from corporations that we partner with. We also purchase a lot of the food that we get out into the community using the generous donations of our supporters, which has become a little bit challenging during times of, you know, high inflation and elevated food prices.
Yeah, I want to kind of get into that because food insecurity is always an issue, and especially during the pandemic. But now that the pandemic has subsided, where is the level at, and especially due to what you just mentioned, soaring prices?
Yeah, that's an excellent question. Thank you for asking that. Yeah, there is really a misconception right now that food insecurity went away with the pandemic. That certainly is not the case of what we're seeing right now. Hunger does persist in our community, and many families continue to find it hard to put food on the table. In fact, 19% of Chicago metro area households, that's one in five households, and 22% of households with children were food insecure during the last week of August and the first week of September, which is similar to levels that we were seeing during the first few months of the pandemic. Black and Latino families with children are typically disproportionately affected by hunger. 31% of Latino households with children compared to 23% of Black households with children, and 16% of white households with children. It's high because of the cumulative effects of inflation, elevated food prices, and really the rollback of crucial pandemic era public assistance programs, such as, you know, SNAP or food stamps, as it's commonly known. It's been one thing after another. And as a result, many families are really turning to our food pantries for the first time ever. In August of 2023, our partner network of pantries across Cook County served more than 190,000 households. That's approximately 422,000 individuals. That's 22% more guests than we did last year in August. So we predict this will continue for many more months, if not years. Households really need time to regain financial stability after the challenges of the last few years, and we expect that the need for food to continue throughout this year and beyond.
Certainly a harrowing statistic, but if someone is facing food insecurity, where can they go to get help?
Mm. Yeah, so anyone who is worried about where their next meal will come from, they are really encouraged to find their nearest food pantry by visiting our website at chicagofoodbank.org. And then on there, there's a find food tool where you could just click and enter your zip code and it will pull up your closest food pantries where you can go. Just want to mention that food provided is at no cost to guests. People don't need to show an ID or, you know, prove legal status or anything like that. They just maybe need to have a proof of address to ensure that you live in the service area. And if in doubt, just call ahead. There's the telephone number on there already. You know, everybody needs help once in a while, Alex. You know, we're all just one big health bill away or a job loss away from needing help.
Definitely. Manyi Lee, the Director of Communications for the Greater Chicago Food Depository, joining me on Score Values this morning and reading a little bit about the Greater Chicago Food Depository. This started as a grassroots nonprofit organization and has just grown into such a big help for so many people. How has your organization been able to grow so much over the years?
Yeah, correct. That is exactly what happened. We were established in 1979, so we've been doing this for a little while. Initially to address the immediate need for food in the community, which we still do through the pantries that I just mentioned. But now we also work to address the root causes of hunger, right? Which we believe are poverty, systemic inequity, and structural racism. We do this by investing directly in communities that have been impacted by generations of disinvestment. We also create jobs and economic opportunity in historically disinvested communities, and we offer workforce development programs to help build skills to self-sufficiency and that help break the cycle of poverty. So today we've grown into a food bank that distributed 92 million pounds of food across Cook County last fiscal year. We're very proud of that. That's the equivalent of around 76 million meals.
Can you talk a little bit about the job training and ways that you help people gain employment?
Yeah, so we have job training programs. You can get the information on our website at chicagofoodbank.org. And basically, it is we provide a little bit of a stipend for people who want to build up their skills either in the hospitality industry or in the warehouse, area industries, really food-related industries, to kind of help them to build up their skills so that they can provide for their families and to really kind of break out of this cycle of poverty. Obviously people are not going to get out of this unless they are able to support their families. But if they've never really had the opportunity or access to any of the training programs in order to become self-sufficient and hold down a good paying job, that's clearly a barrier. And so that's something that we, that's what we try to do and do our part to help communities in need.
You guys have so many volunteers. What are all the different ways that people can get involved?
Oh, great question. Yeah, thank you. There's a number of ways. Yes, you mentioned volunteering. You can volunteer at the food depository here at Archer Heights or at your local food pantry. That really is just to help repack food into small and manageable portions for families. You can also do a virtual food drive if you so desire. You know, join one or start one of your own. Every dollar that is contributed is the equivalent of three meals. That allows us to buy the equivalent of three meals. We also encourage donations, of course, and we're always really grateful for those. This really allows us to purchase food and to fund the programs that we offer to end hunger. You can go to chicagofoodbank.org/donate to donate. And the last thing is to advocate. Follow us on social media and help raise awareness and support our anti-hunger policy campaigns that we have throughout the year.
Do you guys hold, what type of events do you hold to raise money or collect food drives, stuff like that throughout the year that people can get involved in?
Oh, that's a great question. Yes. Well, that's perfectly timed because right now, as you know, that the marathon is coming up. Not this Sunday. I think it's the Sunday after, on October the 8th.
Next Sunday.
We actually, yes.
Week
yes,
from today.
We have a We have a team of 55 runners made up of supporters and volunteers this year that will be supporting and running for the Food Depository. We'll be there. So come and say hi and learn more about our mission. We'll be cheering on our runners at an area called the Charity Block Party, I believe. It's at the corner of Adams and Loomis near the United Center. And we also will have a booth at the expo, which is taking place at the McCormick Place, I believe. People can support us. Naturally, it's too late to run for this year, But, you know, we're always welcome and always are grateful for anyone who wants to support us. Next year, if you want to, if you're interested in running on the Food Depository team in the 2024 race, contact marathon@gcfd.org and someone will get back to you and we'll chat about how we can make that a possibility.
Yeah, so the marathon for so many organizations, nonprofit organizations, including yours, just such an amazing event to raise money to help so many people. What is it like to see your guys' team fill up so quickly? Because you mentioned, you're not taking entries into the marathon. I'm sure it's been, for you guys, it's been sold out or filled up for a very long time. What's it like to get that type of support around a world-class event that brings so much to this city?
It is wonderful. And we know that Chicago area, you know, supporters are always very, very supportive of our work. And it's always very, very encouraging. You know, I always imagine it, you know, just at the start line where, at Grant Park when everyone rushes. It just feels like that when the applications open up for us to join our team. It just kind of, that's always the image that I have. And it's really heartwarming. It's great to see. It's great to see that people care about food insecurity and, you know, eradicating hunger in our communities because it's an important issue.
One more time, the website and what they can find there and ways to donate to the Chicago Food Depository.
Yeah, we're at chicagosfoodbank.org. You can donate there. You can learn more about how to volunteer. You can, join a virtual food drive or set up your own virtual food drive or connect with our social medias. You can also, if you are or know someone who is in need of food, go onto the website and use the Find Food tool, which is on our homepage, and you can easily find free food at your nearest location.
Mandy Lee, the Director of Communications for the Greater Chicago Food Depository, thank you so much. We're going to be excited to see all the runners representing the food bank next week at the marathon. It was great chatting with you this morning.
Thank you so much, Alex.
Once again, that was Mandy Lee, the Director of Communications for the Greater Chicago Food Depository. There are few sports in the world more fun and exhilarating to learn and play than the sport of hockey. Yes, I may be biased in saying that, but I stand by it 100%. It's no secret, though, that costs for children to play is very high. Between equipment, ice time, league fees, and other hockey-related expenses, the price can be too much for many families to afford to put their kids into a hockey program. Brad Erickson and the folks at Inner City Education, or ICE, are working to do something about that. Whether it's providing equipment and ice time to children in underprivileged communities, giving students tutoring help with their schoolwork, or offering scholarships to some students, the folks at ICE see that for some kids, all that is needed is an opportunity. We're now joined by Brad Erickson, the founder and executive director of Inner City Education, also known as ICE. Brad, how are you doing this morning?
I'm good, thanks. Thanks for having me.
Well, we're delighted to have you this morning. Tell us a little bit about what you guys do and your mission at ICE.
Yeah, we are a grassroots nonprofit that I started in Chicago back in 2003, and we provide low-income inner-city boys and girls with hockey equipment, ice time, coaching, mentoring, mandatory tutoring before every practice, and also a limited number of academic scholarships to private schools first grade and up.
Yeah, and let's get into just the educational and the athletic aspect of what you guys do, and for children who are from lower income communities, what is it like to be able to bring? Let's start with the sport of hockey. To bring the sport of hockey to kids who may not otherwise have access to it.
Yeah, it's really fun, actually. to have kids get involved in a non-traditional sport for their community or their neighborhood. Once we get them on the ice and they can feel what it's like to glide along the ice and feel the wind in their face, they get hooked. I don't care if it's a boy or a girl, younger, older, what race, what country. It's just kind of a feeling of freedom, kind of like riding a bike when you're a little kid. It's fun. And then they get a stick in their hand and start to learn to play with the puck, and it just kind of snowballs. And you see the excitement on their face when they show up at the rink for practice every morning. Even Saturday morning when it's out an outdoor rink and it's 10 degrees out, they're excited to be there.
Yeah, it's interesting with the sport of hockey because it's one of those things where I think a lot of people, including myself, I didn't play as a kid, have picked it up as an adult. You have people who start when they're younger. You have all different people from different backgrounds picking up the sport. But once they do get involved and once they do get that opportunity, like you said, it's addictive. They become hooked. It becomes their exercise. It becomes their escape and their fun. And for a lot of these kids, a way to get away from kind of the everyday school and stresses of all of that. What do you think it is about the sport that brings that out?
I think it's exactly what you just said. It's the escape. And there's that feeling of freedom of being on the ice, and you can get out and get some energy out. You can express yourself in the way that you skate and the way that you play. It's a form of creativity, but it also is great that you make friends and you have teammates, and you know, we're able to teach the kids all the important things that come with that, with teamwork and self-discipline and supporting each other and being just a good person in the locker room and a good person on the ice. And it translates into other parts of life, of course. So it's just, you know, I mean, most team sports do that. Hockey players, of course, we always feel like we do it differently or better. But yeah, it's a unique sport. It's very different from other sports in that there's always some guy that made it to the NFL or the NBA that didn't play until high school. But it just doesn't work with hockey. If you can't skate like you can walk by the time you're 8 or 10, you're going to have a rough road. And then the puck's on the end of a stick, not in your hand, like a football or basketball. So it's just something that it's very helpful to learn at a young age, but there's also just so much going on. There's so much to learn. And you can play 50 years and still not learn everything. And so the kids just really enjoy that, I think. And it lets them be creative and lets them get some energy out.
Brad Erickson, the founder and executive director of Inner City Education, also known as ICE, joining us this morning on Score Values. And you mentioned the educational aspect of this, the mandatory tutoring that goes on before each practice. What is that like for the kids? What type of mentorships do you offer? And how much does it help these kids in school to get this type of one-on-one attention?
Yeah, it's a great question, actually, because our first year doing the tutoring and the hockey and so on was 2015. Prior to that, all we did was raise money and give out scholarships. And then we started the hockey program, and the tutoring came with it, et cetera. And I had a woman who I used to coach on a team, I coached a women's team in the early 2000s, who was a CPS teacher and had just become the principal of a school in Cicero, of an elementary school. And we were doing our hockey program at the rink in Cicero, at the Bobby Hall Community Rink. And we ended the season March 1st because that's when the rink shuts down. And we ended the tutoring March 1st because that's when the rink shut down. And then I felt bad because we weren't giving the kids tutoring for the rest of the school year like we had done the previous few months. And I thought, well, not a big deal. It's kind of a glorified study hall. The kids, you know, bring their homework and we have handful of people there, some teachers, some not teachers who volunteer and help the kids out. But then my friend who was the principal told me how much the kids were being impacted by the tutoring, that their grades had gone up. And also from the hockey and being part of the team, their confidence had gone up. She said kids that she would pass by in the hallway that would normally look down at the floor or looking her in the eyes and saying hello. So it had a bigger impact than I expected, to be honest, which was a great surprise. So it's something we've really been focused on all along is the tutoring. And it's nice to hear that it's, you know, having an impact on the kids' grades and helping them even to get into better schools.
Yeah, and I think it's interesting. You mentioned that somebody can make it to the NBA, didn't play basketball starting in high school, and same with baseball and soccer. Because of that, do you think that there's a little bit extra of a confidence boost that comes with learning a sport for these kids that is completely new and starting from the ground up, starting from making some mistakes and learning how to correct those mistakes? And maybe that kind of transfers over into their schoolwork as well.
Absolutely. And I think it's fun for kids to, you know they're sitting in a classroom where they're the only hockey player, and it's something kind of cool about them, kind of different, you know, kind of special. And overcoming struggles in practice and learning new things. Our first day, I mean, we had brand new equipment from Bauer, brand new jerseys with our logo on it. We had 40 kids come on the ice, and we looked like an all-star team. But I'm used to coaching kids that have been playing 10, 15 years. I hadn't coached absolute beginners before. And as they came on the ice, every single one of them fell down immediately.
Right.
I thought, we have a lot of work to do. And some of the kids get frustrated, you know, when they're not picking things up. But they keep at it, and then they learn how to stop on both sides. And they learn how to, you know, do certain things with the puck. And you can see the smile on their face and the confidence when they finally get it. And that absolutely has to translate to the rest of their life. That teaches kids not to quit. It teaches them not to give up. And it teaches them to keep trying and till they get something right.
Yeah, I was going to say, for your volunteers, for yourself, is there has to be few things more rewarding than seeing that kid who steps on the ice for the first time and falls down immediately, and then several months later knows how to stop.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they're flying around. We have so many great volunteers that thankfully have experience with beginning skaters and beginning hockey players, because like I said, I'm used to coaching kids who've been playing for a long time. So that was actually a learning experience for me too. But yeah, the volunteers working with the kids and seeing the kids get it is really fun and really gratifying. But more than that, to be honest, the biggest thing for me is the educational part.
Right.
I was invited to a high school graduation of one of our kids a couple months ago, and she started with us when she was, I think, 9 years old. And this is a young lady whose mother brought her and her two sisters from Mexico to escape an abusive marriage, and had little English at all when she arrived with her three daughters in tow. And this young lady has been on a scholarship with us since 2016. And she just graduated from a really good high school in River Forest. And she's off to study mechanical engineering this fall. And it really made me happy to see that we were able to have an impact on her academic future and her future career.
Just an amazing story, Brad. And does it kind of go to show that for children who come from underprivileged backgrounds, really it's just about opportunity?
Absolutely. 100%. That's, you know, that was really one of the main reasons I founded the ICE program back in 2003. Was because kids are just not getting the opportunity. And there's just an injustice about it. You know, these kids live in neighborhoods where their schools don't get the funding that other neighborhoods get. They're not getting the quality of education, and it's going to impact their future, of course. So some of the kids, they just need a little help, a little hand up, and they'll do the rest on their own.
Brad Erickson, the founder and executive director of ICE, joining us now on Score Values. Brad, what type of volunteers are you guys looking for?
We're always looking for good volunteers in all the areas that we can use them, which is hockey coaches, skating coaches, academic tutors, and mentors. And the mentoring is becoming a bigger and bigger part of our program. In the early days, I was a de facto mentor for all of our scholarship kids. You know, we only had a couple. And if somebody got in trouble at school, I would leave work and go to the dean's office or what have you. But then when it got to be 15 kids on scholarship and 20 kids on scholarship, there was no way I could handle all that, of course. So we assigned a mentor to each of our scholarship kids. Now we want to have mentors for all the kids in our program, not just the kids that are receiving scholarships. So we learned that through studies that have shown this, that having one adult mentor outside your family, whether it's a teacher or a coach or a family friend or whomever, taking an interest in a child's life can have a huge impact on their future.
Let's start with mentors and tutors. Is there any previous experience or credentials that need to come with being a tutor for ICE?
No, there isn't. There isn't. It's basic schoolwork. It's homework. Unfortunately, are you smarter than a fifth grader? Might scare some people away, but it's mostly kids around that age with homework that most adults can handle. So no specialized training. We do, of course, do a background check on everybody, and all of our volunteers also have to go through USA Hockey Safe Sport training. So we make sure there's no lines being crossed and all the kids are safe and the program is safe too, but that's really it.
And of course, for coaching, what type of background are you looking for in your coaches and your skating coaches?
Different levels. We have people who have, massive backgrounds. We had a woman who unfortunately moved away, but she played on Team USA in the Olympics twice. But we also have people who are adult league players who didn't start playing until they were in their 20s or 30s. You don't need to be an all-star to be a coach with us. But our coaches, again, background check, safe sport, and they will have to be USA Hockey certified, and there's courses they can do online.
Brad Erickson, the founder and executive director of Inner City Education, also known as ICE. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. And what can folks expect if they visit your website? What is the URL for your website as well?
Yes, it's www.innercityeducation.org, all one word, innercityeducation.org. And they can go there and make donations, which are very important to us, of course, in our mission. And they can find information how to get involved and stay on top of whatever news we have coming out and events that we'll be doing to raise money down the road.
Brad, great stuff. Thanks again.
Thank you.
Thank you to Brad Erickson for joining me this morning. The ICE program has received plenty of support over the years, including from Blackhawk Stanley Cup Championship winning defenseman Brent Seabrook. This is Siebes, as well as participants and their families, discussing the impacts of the program.
Education is such a big thing. I know growing up, I had good schooling, and Brad emphasizes, schooling and tutoring before you can play hockey, things like that. So, I think that's all great for America's youth and something that we hope to continue growing.
I'm very, very thankful because from Brad, we got many opportunities to meet the Blackhawks and go to events that just made us love the game more. And he gave us lots of ice time and time to have fun. And I'm just thankful for that because many friendships were made.
It's awesome. I'm sorry. It's hard coming from a low community and getting the experience like this for your kids is not easy. So it's a great program.
Ready?
All right. They help children in underprivileged schools, and I think that's very nice. Kind of helps me feel better about myself knowing that I can play hockey.
That audio courtesy of NBC Sports Chicago. The website, once again, for those interested, is innercityeducation.org. That's going to do it for another edition of Score Values. I want to thank Man Yi Lee, the communications director of the Greater Chicago Food Depository, for joining me this morning. I also want to thank Brad Erickson, the executive director of ICE, for stopping by. If there's a topic you'd like to hear about on a future edition of our show, or if you'd like to share information about an upcoming charitable event, just send us an email at scorevalues670@gmail.com. That's scorevalues670@gmail.com. I'm Alex Kuhn. Thanks for listening to this week's edition of Score Values on 670 The Score.